am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, October 17th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be, while we still have Road and Warrior left in us. And so let us begin. I feel like starting with Pike's letter to Mazzini, outlining three world wars. It's interesting. We've had this letter around for quite some time now. According to William Guy Carr, Cardinal Rodriguez was the individual originally responsible for bringing it to public knowledge and circulation. Cardinal Carlos Rodriguez of Santiago, Chile, wrote The Mystery of Freemasonry Unveiled, and this is Rodriguez's book. So the letter, Pike's letter to Mazzini, and, you know, as the story goes, the letter was allegedly on display in the British Museum library, I believe, cataloged there, and on display, you know, some accounts say up until 1977 or so. And then subsequently, we know that today the British Museum denies, you know, ever having possessed, let alone displayed, this letter, as though it doesn't exist. And so that's interesting. But the letter, we've known about it for about 100 years, for sure. You know, if we're going based on William Guy Carr's recognition of the letter from Rodriguez's book, The Mystery of Freemasonry Unveiled. And so we've known about it since before the Second World War, which curiously followed the plot line, shall we say, of the Second World War. Now we have the situation that was brought back into frontal view about a week and a half ago or so, on October 7th, obviously. And it's interesting that the Third World War must be fomented, according to the Pike letter to Mazzini, by the agent tour of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. And the letter indicates, or this plan indicates that the whole world, meanwhile, the other nations once more divided on this issue will be constrained to fight, et cetera, et cetera. Drawing everyone into this conflict. And there are those, it's interesting when we start talking about this letter, it seems like people are hesitant or reluctant to confront the historical veracity of what has happened and what is happening in keeping with the contents of the letter. That's interesting to me. So I hear people say, well, it's at best disputed, or it's been disproven that letter is not genuine. It was never actually written by Pike. Well, then how do we explain the fact that we've known about it for about 100 years, and the Second World War happened in a fashion according to the letter, and now what's happening? I think the best evidence in our 8 or 9 second attention span, goldfish attention span world or society, the best evidence today is, like no other time in history, the world is being forced to focus on this conflict. It's really not a conflict. Israel and Hamas are at war. No, Israel is a nation state that was, the very existence of this thing known as Israel, which I think is a biblical counterfeit. It is kind of a thorn in the side of mankind. It's certainly a thorn in the side of America and Americans, since AIPAC is one of the most powerful, influential lobbies. People say, well, they don't spend as much money lobbying. No, they get money to lobby. They are a very powerful and influential lobby, AIPAC. And that's an acknowledged fact. We have so many political leaders that have dual citizenship, which is interesting. Why is Israel getting, millions and millions of dollars a day sent over? How do Americans benefit from that? That seems to fly in the face of our foundational tenets. If you read the majority of the founding fathers, it's interesting to me. One of the things I think about lately, speaking of that, is did these guys kind of write the playbook? There's a conversation, some college kids seem to be getting things figured out. Some of them say, I don't think America won the American Revolution. I say, I think it was about as Illuminized as the French Revolution is acknowledged to be, because you have so many of those Illuminized French intriguers that were directly in communication with the Americans. Thomas Jefferson was in France during the Constitutional Convention, for example. And so that's interesting. And what does that portend? So anyway, it's interesting to see how things are shaping up. You know, I wonder, to sort of finish that thought, I wonder, you know, if the Jeffersonian contingent wrote the playbook in reverse, if you will, where, you know, you say smart people would always do this and never allow that, and bad guys go, oh, okay, so we're supposed to do what's never allowed and prevent people from doing what smart people would do. That's kind of how it seems things are playing out in America. Anyway, back to the letter. This idea that political Zionists and what I would refer to as political Zionism and political Islam, these forces being collided together, could not have happened 100 years ago. I mean, think about the emergence of, you have these groups. I mean, Netanyahu himself calls Hamas ISIS, essentially. They are ISIS. Where does ISIS get its ideology? From Saudi Arabia. It's a fundamentalist form of Wahhabism, essentially, that undergirds these radical factions that become headless, non-state actors in geopolitics and the balkanizing of the region, and it's spreading like a virus, like a cancer, out into the rest of the world. You know, as I've mentioned before, many times when this subject arises, I mean, it's spreading everywhere. Omar Aziz, Yale law school candidate back in 2016, wrote about the fact that, you know, it was strange that a Saudi billionaire donated $10 million to Yale University and Yale Law School to establish a center of Islamic law and civilization for Islamic studies, but not really. It was Wahhabi studies. And I said at the time, we'll see what happens. You know, I agree with Omar Aziz. We should be concerned. Why is this happening? But we'll see. You know, let's wait and see. In fairness, we don't need to, but let's wait and see. And what do you know? These people graduate from this, you know, the young people who, the first crop of young people who went through this program, they sound like they're ISIS. They sound radicalized. They sound like the kids that Candace Owens and Dinesh D'Souza were discussing in at kind of the peak of the insanity with the riots and so on. The kids that are getting radicalized in Ivy League institutions. In that case, it was Collinford Mattis and Iraj Rahman. You know, these same thing, Yale Law School students, kids who attend Ivy League schools, throwing Molotov cocktails at protests. What is going on there? How is that happening, and why? Should we wonder? So that was what Omar Aziz was writing about. So you have two sides of a proxy conflict that is metastasizing, essentially, and spreading throughout the world. Everyone is being drawn into this conflict precisely in the fashion that we read about in this letter that we have knowledge of since before the creation of Saudi Arabia, the thing called Israel, since before the Second World War. Interesting. And all of these things are being brought to bear in a fashion in keeping with this letter. I think it's very fascinating. And when it comes to exposing the documents that have sort of foreshadowed or telegraphed what bad guys intend, I think there's a way that that has been done. You know, the protocols is obviously another one that comes to mind. I think they have been written genuinely. I mean, who was it? I think it was it Bill Cooper that said, if the protocols are a fake, it's the most elaborate fake ever written? That kind of thing. So, I think they're written genuinely. Pike's letter, same kind of thing. I mean, who cooks up a scheme like this? I mean, think about it. Just to begin with, this letter has, in its contents, the outline of three world wars. Well, we've known about it for 100 years. Who ever heard of such a thing? And for those who would say, well, you know, no one could possibly know that. I mean, who could possibly know that wars would be, you know, created? Well, to you, I would say, read Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment. Just go to the Amazon book listing for it, The Anglo-American Establishment by Carol Quigley. And read the book description on Amazon. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And this really shapes my view of what's happening. People who get target fixated on Israel. Oh, Israel is controlling everything we do. It's just part of what I was talking about yesterday. We got a little high-centered after the fact, I think. But who's doing the balkanizing? Who's doing the nation-making and so forth? What are the forces that are being played off against each other? And I think there is a correlation to you know, biblical eschatology, but it's not in the fashion that most people think. I think there is a lot that's being counterfeited to preempt. And it's interesting, the lying signs and false wonders in 2 Thessalonians 2, for example, who looks for signs and wonders? Do the heathen, you know, Do the unbelieving folks look for signs and wonders? Kind of, but not really. So I wonder who's in view. Speaking of signs and wonders, is it the folks who profess to be Christian, shall we say, but are truly unbelieving because they don't you know, take him at his word, so to speak? And I think there's a lot going on that is designed and intended, engineered and orchestrated to preempt those things that we read about in the, you know, the end times passages in the Bible. And I think that's validated when Jesus answered the disciples when they asked in Matthew 24, what will be, you know, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he prefaces by saying, see to it that no one misleads you. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Kinds of mouthpieces that are ready and waiting, willing to tell us whatever we need or want to hear. Is that the itching ear, perhaps? You know, speaking of who could possibly know that, you know, war, you know, who could create war? Come on. Carol Quigley, you know, explains how all the wars from that time, 1891, were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. You know, it's, we beat it to death. I beat it to death, but we're going to do it again. Patrick Claussen, 10 years ago at the Washington Institute, how to build a U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. Before we do that, though, let me just say I've, for years, you know, I talked about the CSIS perspective on this, where, you know, I forget who it was that did the presentation, but CSIS did a big study on it, and they acknowledged the fact that Iran does not have the, even if they had a payload they wanted to send to Israel, if they had a tailwind, they didn't have the rocket technology to lob something far enough to hit the Israeli border. And so that's problematic when it comes to, you know, all of this saber rattling and bellicose language that we see. Washington Institute, let's see, a couple of days ago, Matthew Levitt discusses the Hamas terrorist infrastructure and its capabilities. What infrastructure? What capabilities? What does Israel not know about and was not involved in setting up? You know, the keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. In the final moments, I think we have enough time. Patrick Claussen on the traditional way America gets to war. Can we do that, please?
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
And, you know, cue uncomfortable laughter. Washington, so, you know, to those who would say, oh, you could never, you know, how could you anticipate a war? I don't know. There are some people who maybe we should throw in the excerpt, the beginning of George Friedman's Brain Bar Budapest talk. Is there a global war coming? Maybe we should throw in that, you know. Mr. Stratfor, Mr. CIA proxy. You know, global war is with you now. I introduce to you the iPhone. And it goes through every part of cell phone technology that was incubated in military labs. Then made its way out into civilian hands. We could do that. We could do any number of other installments. Anyway, we'll leave it with Patrick Claussen on the traditional way America gets to war. False flag strategy of tension episodes that galvanize the support of the people to attack their enemy that's been vilified. And you see that. What was the there was a piece I saw. A lot of people pointed out that they're beheading babies stuff is a complete put up job. There was one in particular. Maybe I can find that real quick. Oh, here it is. Where is that? "40 Beheaded Babies, How Media Amplified an Unconfirmed Story." We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We hear that there was a catastrophic failure in Mossad intelligence, and even though they can, hear a pin drop along the fence and, they see a cockroach if it moves. This time, gosh, we didn't know, and, you know, hundreds, perhaps thousands, perhaps all of Hamas parachuted in. How did they manage to do that, by the way? Anybody curious? And though there was a catastrophic failure of intelligence, and Mossad says, oh my goodness, yeah, we missed that one. Really? Really? The FBI, Fox News piece yesterday, FBI warns of Hamas copycat attacks on U.S. Oh, now, isn't it funny how we always know immediately following? You know, kind of like, you know, people who think that I don't know, maybe believe the official 9/11 story or anything remotely approaching it. Maybe we should do a little bit of research and acknowledge who the terrorists were, and, you know, Carl Cameron's piece and the survival instinct of these folks that he talked about, you know, from an American intelligence document, and so on and so on. Anyway, let's see, FBI warns of Hamas copycat attacks on U.S. And what was the other one? The one that I thought was really interesting. How timely. How apropos. The Daily Mail. Hamas, the terror group bent on destroying Israel and themselves. And the Daily Mail wants to tell us what Hamas wants. This is what Hamas wants, really? So, you know, again, I mean, there are all of the explainers everywhere. Everywhere you look, you know. And it's all filled with provocative, hyperbolic type of things that are designed to get people frothy. And the more we go along, you know, I remember growing up in the 80s, hearing about some of this stuff and just thinking, why are we concerned about all this stuff? Now, as we fast forward, you know, this is to sort of validate the point about the letter, the infamous letter from Pike to Mazzini. People keep wanting to say it's, that letter has been debunked. Chris, why are you still talking about that letter? I don't know. There are just some curiosities about it. The fact that we've known about it for 100 years. There was no Saudi Arabia. There was no Israel. Now suddenly we have these two things that are the proxies for everything that's going on. The ideology that comes from these places. And everyone's getting sort of swept up in the current of it. If you want to get rid of Hamas and Hezbollah, for that matter, get rid of Saudi Arabia and Israel. And while you're at it, you know, tamp down Western intelligence and British intrigue behind the scenes. Because, you know, Israel and Saudi Arabia were, they came on the geopolitical scene from the same forces. And, you know, we can maybe haggle over the semantics of Israeli influence, AIPAC influence, etc., and it's undeniable. There's no doubt about that. But it is a tool in the toolbox of the grander plan, the grander scheme, which I would say really is somewhat spelled out in the book description that I read from Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society, to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And that's what Norman Dodd intimated to G. Edward Griffin in that interview back in 1982, pursuant to the Rees Committee investigation, and it's borne out in the their findings and their report to the committee and their congressional testimony and so on and so on. That, you know, the story of Catherine Casey going to the Carnegie Endowment for International So-Called Peace only to discover that from its inception, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was trying to steer America into a state of perpetual war so that you can make these big changes to control the world, because there's no better means by which to radically alter a society than a state of emergency. Historically, we know that. We have all of the warnings and cliches of history, including our own. And so, you know, it's not a mystery. James Madison, the way that he put it, the guy that, you know, has been referred to as the father of the Constitution, which he said was a dubious moniker, he thought personally, the means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. His speech at the Constitutional Convention, 1787. In time of actual war, great discretionary powers are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war. That's what we do when we institutionalize, you know, with the National Security Act. Never again will we be caught off guard and on our heels. So we're going to institutionalize the military-industrial complex, the NME, the National Military Establishment, the enemy. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head too large for the body. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, Madison said, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. And, you know, again, I mean, back to the Machiavellian concept of creating your enemies so every once in a while. I mean, Machiavelli wrote about this stuff pretty in a pretty detailed fashion. And what has been happening in America? Let's see. Since the implementation of the National Security Act, defense contractors, so-called, there's no such thing as defense. What have we defended? Well, you know, whatever defamatory term you want to use, they came over and they attacked us on September 11, 2001. Did they? Where did this organization? Let's just pretend that's true, which it's not, but you mean there was a massive stand down in airspace and et cetera, et cetera. 19 hijackers armed with box cutters, 15 of whom were Saudi. According to the official story, let's just pretend it's true. You know, I don't know. I don't want to belabor the point too much. I feel like I've done that quite a bit over the years. The means of defense, well, the point is, you know, where does this threat, from whence does it derive? And again, I mean, Operation Cyclone is one, even though that's even a sort of truncated version of the story, anybody can go to Wikipedia and look up Operation Cyclone and see the CIA created through, you know, intelligence, Western intelligence apparatus network friends, including Israel, for that matter. This network, this so-called headless network, again, I mentioned yesterday Robin Cook's article from 2005, The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means, where he reminds us that Al-Qaeda is the database, the CIA database. Al-Qaeda is the CIA database of the thousands of Mujahideen fighters who were recruited and indoctrinated into the Wahhabi, Salafi, radical fundamentalist ideology. So where did this come from? Even if you buy the official narrative, where did that come from? So the so-called defense contractors are doing great. Politicians are doing great because, you know, we need them. Strategy of tension. Save me, kidnapper. Protect me from myself, ourselves. Protect us from ourselves. Has Congress declared war since we institutionalized the national military establishment, the enemy, or the military-industrial complex? Has Congress declared war, as is its duty, obligation, responsibility, authority to do so? So are we seeing Madison's words borne out in real time, essentially? In time of actual war, great discretionary powers are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head too large for the body. Are we, you know, I talked about the 4473 yesterday. When I was growing up, you could still buy guns in a Sears catalog. There was no background check. There was no, you know, what was the movie? It was Christian Slater, where he, you know, his name on his application for the post office box. What movie was that? I can't remember. But, you know, the name that he writes, we can't say on the radio, but does it pump up the volume, maybe? I don't remember. Anyway, that was the way it was. You didn't have to, you know, leverage your next of kin, do a background check, you know, answer a bunch of questions. Are you a communist? Have you ever been a communist? Where have you lived all your life? Where do you plan on living? Blood sample, all that kind of stuff. Didn't need that. Now, for some reason, because we're moving in that feudal, ministerial, inquisitorial direction, that the society that Quigley wrote about, what a coincidence, wanted what they said they were trying to re-implement, this feudalist model, we're moving in that direction. What a coincidence. And we have this thing that Madison warned us about, an executive or a head too large for the body, executive with great discretionary powers, including to declare war. Most Americans, do they even know the Constitution clearly states that Congress has the power and authority to declare war. What are we doing in all these conflicts then over the last 80 years? What's going on there? Kind of strange. Does anybody wonder? We're too busy. Not really. You know, if we could get our heads screwed on straight and focus for 10 minutes. Remember what Alan Watts said? If we all got together and we went down to our state capitol even and we said, hey, we're just here, you know, you are representatives of the people, you are public servants, we're just here to make sure everything's going okay, we would be escorted off the property and probably get the January 6th treatment. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Beyond the suns that guard this roost, beyond
beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps.
Welcome back. What the movie was Pump Up the Volume back in 1990, and you know, so Christian Slater fills out the application for a P.O. box, and then, you know, later the reporter and the detective discover, you know, is that box registered to a name? Yes, of course. It has to be, you know, but I can't give it to you. And the detective holds out his badge and he says, but you can to me. And the postal clerk gives it to him. That box is registered to, yeah, Mr. Charles U. Farley, 112 Crescent. But that's the address of the school, and then they figure it out. Oh, I see what he did there. So, you know, that's what I, whenever I see a P.O. box or, you know, any of the other boxes, the UPS store boxes or whatever, I always think of that scene. And now, you know, in contrast to that, what do we have? We have, well, what guys like Madison warned about and what the Rhodes Melner, you know, the Fabians dreamed of. And as long as we sort of go along with it, we will get more of it. What do you do, though? What do you do? I mean, that's an interesting question for all of us to answer. And I think diving down that rabbit hole is very intriguing. I have talked about it before. I think this touches on the subject of communitarianism. For me, my perspective is basically individualism and collectivism perhaps best represented by communitarianism, which is a reflexive policy that will brick up all opposition. Every time anything is pointed out where there's a weakness in it, the reflexive nature of it will brick that hole up real quick so that it becomes impervious to any resistance or opposition. But I think that the collectivist bent and the individualist bent are actually two sides of the same coin. And that gets back to the question, who's in charge, who decides? My own personal perspective. And so, you know, take that for what it's worth. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We will be right back after this short break.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.